The good news of Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not a light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus Christ.
Have your Bibles and open them up there to our gospel reading today, to John chapter 1. I'd love you to follow along with me if you can. And we'll also be looking at chapter 3 briefly as well. Jesus, the light of the world. So today is the second Sunday after Christmas. And as I said, we're looking at John chapter 1 in particular. Now, we can't live without light. I think that's fair to say. And we truly can't live, spiritually speaking, without Jesus either. That's true at a personal level, but also for us as a church. A number of years ago now, we sat down in prayer for a whole year, and we asked the Lord to help us to discern how he has formed us as a church. What are the unique hallmarks of us as the body of Christ in this particular place? And we came up with a document that we called our DNA. And the very first statement that we formed was about our Lord Jesus being the light, being the very center of our lives. And it says this: we believe he's the center of all of life, the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of the world. He's the reason to live, and without him, it's impossible to truly know God as he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe the Bible and its testimony about him, and we deeply sense his joyful call on us to make him known in Albany and the world. Jesus, the very center, the very meaning of life. As light is essential to life, so is Jesus to our very beings. So we're looking at these first few verses of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And you may have noticed that the word light comes up 7 times just in those 9 verses. John is using this language of light to help us understand the meaning of Jesus. If you like, the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of his coming into the world, and what it means for us to be in relationship with him. And so I want us to see 3 points this morning as we look at these first few verses. Firstly, that there is light. Secondly, that we need the light. And thirdly, how we can live in the light. Let's look at those 3 quickly. So firstly, the first thing to see is that there is light. So the first thing we need to do is to pry open, what does John mean by light? Look with me at verse 3. He says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. John is saying that Jesus is the origin, the source of all of creation. Paul says something very similar in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16 when he says about Jesus, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. So Jesus creates, he's the origin of life. That's the first thing to see that John hits on there. And then in verse 4, we find the real definition. He says, in him, that's Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. In Jesus is life. This is the light of Jesus. Now, there are 3 Greek words for the word life that we find in the New Testament. The first is the word bios, from which we get our English word biology. And it's referring to the kind of physical systems of life, of existence. The second is psyche, from which we get our sort of group of words around the word psychology and similar words. And it refers to the inner elements of life, like our personalities, our minds, for example. And then there's the third word for life, zoe, from which we get our English word zoology. And in Greek, zoe means life in its essence and in its fullest possible sense. It's life in glorious technicolor, if you like. It's the life that is in God himself. And it's this word for life that we find here in verse 4. In him was zoe, and that zoe was the light of all humanity. When Jesus says in John chapter 10, a little bit later on, I have come that they, speaking of his disciples, may have life and have it to the full, it's zoe life he's referring to. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's everlasting zoe. That's the life Jesus is talking about. It's not never-ending bios life, right? It's not never-ending existence. Who wants that? It's eternal, never-ending zoe life. Life in its fullest sense. It's glorious technicolor. It's the life that's in God himself. Now, here's the next question. What does that life look like? What does God's life look like? What is it? And that is an important question, isn't it? Think about your life for a moment. If we had to ask you, if someone asks you or you're having a conversation, how's life? You could describe it in biological terms. You could say something like, well, my heart's beating maybe a little bit too often. My digestive system seems to be backing up a bit, but that's not, you know, the truth. But that's not really what we're asking, isn't it, when we say, how's life going? You could also describe it in more psychological terms, which is very common. You know, yeah, my anxiety is going up and I've got a bit of insomnia and I'm a bit concerned that I'm not living into my full potential, something like that. You could answer that way too. But I'm not quite sure that's what we mean when we're saying, how's life? You see, when we're asking that question, what we're really asking is, how are your relationships, isn't it? How is life going with your workmates, relationships with your family, with your friends, your spouse if you're married, your kids if you have them? You see, it's our relationships that ultimately define our lives. And it's this key aspect of our life actually that actually affects every other aspect, I'll put it to you. Our physical health, our internal health really flows out of our relational health. Jesus tells us what life in God is like. And it's the relationships of love that have always existed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's Trinitarian. That's what the life of God is. That's God's light that he's bringing into the world. In John chapter 14, Jesus specifically speaks of the Holy Spirit coming to us. He says in verse 16, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Next verse, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So notice the relationship that Jesus is talking about. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, I come to you. It's Trinitarian, personal, relational reality of God in Jesus. And then in chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says this, to the Father, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And John is saying that this is the life of God. This is the eternal relationships of love that is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, this is the light that I bring to all humanity. I want you to have the life of God in you. How? Because I want to be in you. This is real life. I wonder if you could just for a moment engage your imaginations with me and imagine your life transformed by this zoe life, this life of God, this love of God that exists, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to imagine in your life, in all your relationships, total and complete acceptance and belonging, joy and appreciation of one another. Can you imagine this? Peace in all your relationships. The desire to want to serve others and for others to serve you. No regrets. No one looking down on anybody else. No feelings of inadequacy or failure. No grudges. No guilt. No pain. No hunger. No thirst. No disappointments. No loss. What does that feel like? Can you imagine this Zoe life? This is life in all its fullness. This is God's life that Jesus wants to give us. This is the light that John is talking about, the true light that comes into the world. That's the first point to see, that there is light. There is this life. The second is, why do we need it? Well, we need the light because we're in darkness. That's what John says in verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When John describes the coming of Jesus to the world, the bringing of the life of God, the light to the world, he's not only light, but he's light shining in the darkness. Now, in John's gospel, darkness is not merely the absence of light, it's the presence of active evil. It's the presence of hostility to God. We find this in John chapter 3 in verse 19. If you want to have your finger there, you're welcome to follow in with me. John 3 verse 19, John says this. This is the verdict. It's a bit like a bookend to the first three chapters. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Darkness, says John, is what people love because our deeds are evil. They reject the light. Now back in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, he says this, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He is the one from which life, creation emerges, the origin, the source of all that is. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The world, though made by him, rejected him, killed him. Now, it may come as a bit of a shock to you that the Bible would have such a harsh, you might say, or even brutal verdict on the state of the world in relation to God. But it's honest, isn't it? Now, this is, of course, not the only thing the Bible says about the world. The Bible also says that the world is made by God and is a witness to his creative power and beauty. There are many things about the world which is absolutely wonderful. That human beings, in particular, are made in God's image and, of course, capable of doing wonderful things. But the Bible is honest. It is absolutely truthful in describing the reality that evil and sin has left its mark on every single aspect of life in this world. There's not one part of life in existence that isn't somehow affected and infected by the reality of evil and therefore death. The Bible is honest. The world is not as it should be. It's certainly not as evil as it could be. Thank God for that. But there is no part of existence that's not infected by it. And that especially includes you and me. All humanity. This is the verdict, says John. All humanity is at bottom hostile to God. It is truly sobering to think and to consider that. And you might say, but Shane, I don't believe that. That's true. I'm not hostile to God. Well, when God came, we killed him. You see, we all need the light. That's the second point. We need it. And then thirdly, how can we live in the light? Now, in John chapter 1, verse 5, John uses a deliberately ambiguous word to describe this relationship between darkness and the light. Did you see it then? Verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not, and here's the word, overcome it. Other translations will use the word, the darkness has not comprehended it or not understood it. Now you might say, when you look at those different words that are translated, you might say, gee, those are quite different words. How can they mean such a vast domain of meaning? What is John getting at? Well, the word John uses here is ambiguous, and it can be translated differently. It's the word that we have in English, to master something. And to master something can mean getting rid of it, overcoming it. Like, for example, if we master our fears, we effectively overcome them. We have a control over them. Or we can master a particular subject, in which case we mean to understand it. We've comprehended it. Again, to have a measure of control over the subject matter. And John uses this word on purpose. There are other words he could have used, but he's used this word on purpose because the world, he says, can never master, have control over, overcome, or even fully understand the light. The light coming into the world in Jesus Christ is not something to be mastered. He's not to be mastered by us. We are to be mastered by him. How can we live in the light? We live in the light, not when we master it, when we receive it. Look at verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To receive Jesus is to receive light. It is to receive the life, the Zoe life of God into us. Well, how do we receive him? Well, in chapter 3 of John, in verses 20 and 21, he continues and he says, verse 19, it starts, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And then verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. We receive Jesus by coming into the light, by being exposed to him. We come and we realize, Jesus, you know me. You know everything about me. You are the creator. You are the origin of my life. You know my mind, my personality, my thoughts, my biological reality. You know everything about me, top to bottom, through and through. You are my creator. You also know my failures and flaws. You know my addictions. As much as I might try to hide them from others, I cannot hide them from you. You see all things. You see my failures, my flaws, my addictions, and my deliberate sins. And yet, you love me. You desire to bring the love and life of God to me. You want to forgive and heal me. You took the death that all my sin deserves, and you paid it with your own life. You died my death, Jesus. You died for my sins to give me life. And so to come into that place of deep, penetrating exposure and vulnerability is how we come into and receive Jesus Christ. We receive him as our Savior and as our Lord. You see, we live in the light when we are mastered by him. When we are receiving him and living with him as our Savior and Lord. So folks, there is light. We need the light. And we live in the light when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Two quick points as I finish. What does this mean for someone who's not a Christian yet? What does this mean for someone who perhaps is on the fringes, on the edges, looking in perhaps, or maybe even completely disinterested and has suddenly been confronted with the Christian message, perhaps through a family or friend, or maybe popped along to church, whatever it might be? What's the message for you? The message is come into the light. That's what it means. Receive him. Maybe you've been thinking, you know, you can kind of intellectualize your way into relationship with God. That if you can get enough answers, perhaps to all the questions, then you'll be a Christian. Friends, Christianity does provide real answers to life's biggest questions. I believe the best answers by far, the most coherent, the answers that relate to reality and give meaning and purpose by far. But having answers doesn't make us a Christian. Jesus will not be mastered. He will not be controlled by you. He is not a subject or a fear to be overcome. Jesus is to master you. He is to be received. That's what faith means. Come into the light. What does it mean, finally, then, for believers? For most of us who are sitting in this room today, what does it mean for us that Jesus is the light? Well, it means that we are to remain in the light. Isn't that Jesus' teaching? As Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, and you will bear fruit. You see, we remain in Jesus. We remain in the light, in the life of God, the Zoe transforming life of God. We remain in him when we remain in fellowship with God's people, for example. When we remain in the word and in prayer. When we remain in an attitude of repentance towards the Lord, not covering up and hiding, but being honest, moving into this place of exposure with Jesus and his people often regularly, right? We remain in life when we have a posture of forgiveness towards others. That same radical forgiveness that came to us in Jesus Christ, I am willing to give to others. But you might say, but they don't deserve it. Well, neither did you. We remain in the light when we remain in the gospel, in Jesus. And we grow in learning the joy and the freedom of being mastered by Jesus. By being mastered by him. We grow in submission. We grow in giving him our allegiance. We become strong in our weakness and in our vulnerability and in our honesty and in our service. You see, he really is the meaning of life. He is the Zoe life of God that is coming into the world that he wants to give to you and to me. That's why we say in our DNA statement, we believe he's the center of all of life, the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of the world, the reason to live. And without him, it's impossible to know God as he truly is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Folks, this is a good time of year, isn't it? To be considering, Lord, how can I grow in being mastered by you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the revelation that you bring to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we thank you that Jesus really is the light of the world. He is the Zoe life, the transforming life of God for all people. Lord Jesus, would you help us to move into that place of exposure, into that place of light? Maybe even for the first time today. Lord, would you help us to receive you, to be mastered by you, our Savior and our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Amen.